Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
That's Not Gunna Productions podcast.
Lady Mouth.
Oh my god, it's like totally Lady Mouth.
Hey ladies! Oh yeah, today is a very special episode of Lady Mouth with Jasmine, who is anonymous. So Jasmine, hey, how are you today?
Hey, I'm good, just, you know, surviving the whole COVID-19 thing.
Oh my god, I'm sure. Are you under wraps, being socially distanced, and are you working from home or anything? Or
primarily, yeah, working from home. Everyone should be working from home at this point, seeing as the capabilities are there for most companies to allow you to work from home.
Oh, exactly. I completely agree. I worked for about 2 days, and then I'm looking for other things right now. I just don't want to touch people right now, especially strangers. I don't know what you're coming in with, you know?
Yes, that makes 100% sense.
Exactly. So today, everybody, Jasmine and I are going to talk about sex work. It is something we are both very positive about. Sex work and having it legalized should be somewhat of a priority in this country, but it isn't. And sex should not be as taboo in this country as it definitely is. Do you agree with that, Jasmine?
I definitely agree. Realistically, this is one of the oldest professions on earth, and it's a necessary profession. People are always going to sell sex in some way, shape, or form, whether it be through pornography, whether it be through OnlyFans, which is a new website where people are sharing nudes of themselves, which is essentially a lot like camgirling, except for you're really pretty much working for yourself in that instance, which is a phenomenal step up.
Was it like a fiver for nudes?
Kind of.
Sorry. What was it called again?
OnlyFans.
OnlyFans? What does fans
only
mean?
I'm sorry, fans.
OnlyFans. Oh, wow.
OnlyFans is a website that allows people to basically sell their own content. It's a subscription-based service. So if you have an OnlyFans, you can sell images or videos of yourself performing of various acts, or just photos of you in less than clothed positions. Honestly, I think OnlyFans is phenomenal. It's a massive step up over your traditional cam girl website. And I think that if you are a cam girl, you should 100% consider an OnlyFans account.
I know what a cam girl is, but is their setup different than, how is it different from OnlyFans that you prefer OnlyFans?
Well, I would say OnlyFans operates a lot like Patreon.
Sorry, I just don't know how cam girls, I don't watch porn. I don't know the ins and outs.
Oh, it's understandable. I was a cam girl for 20 seconds. Honestly, it's super, super rough.
Is it?
Yeah, a lot of camming websites for cam girls do take a massive cut of what you can make. And the comment section that you see for cam girls is really, really ugly. I could not recommend being a cam girl unless there was no other option. It really is, if you ask me, dehumanizing. And realistically, the kinds of cuts that some websites request of you are barbaric. And realistically, you'd be making so little money. It's almost like, depending on how big your audience or following is, you could be making minimum wage or even less than minimum wage, despite working like 12 hours a day. It's insane.
Oh my gosh, that's awful. So So you're right then. Rather than work for some company, you work for yourself with OnlyFans. Okay, I agree. I'm actually considering it now. Now that I just learned about it from you, I'm like, oh, maybe I should do that to make money. If people want to see loose skin from weight loss surgery, they're more than welcome to.
Well, OnlyFans is for everyone. There's like, if you have an OnlyFans account, there's always somebody wanting to watch. And anyone can get an OnlyFans, like from like amateur to like professional pornographic actresses, both have OnlyFans. It's
oh, wow. Oh, it's like the Instagram of porn. I get
kinda,
it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But you get paid. Sorry to sidetrack with that. It really intrigued me because I never knew the ins and outs of cam girls. So thank you for that insight.
Oh, no problem.
Now you were a sex worker. Mm-hmm. What exactly did you do, Jasmine?
Well, this was a long time ago, back when like you could purchase sex on Craigslist and Backpage. So,
ooh, wow.
Yeah, it was a long
time. I remember Backpage, like the back pages of the Village Voice and stuff like that. Is that what you mean?
Backpage was like its own like website.
Oh, I'm thinking newspapers. That's how old I am.
Oh.
But I did one time, my co-parent and I, we housed a person I met on World of Warcraft who took advantage of our hospitality and became a gay hustler, and he was working out of Craigslist.
Wow.
Yeah. That was fun.
That is special. I probably would not.
I take in stray humans, and I took in one once. I took him in, I took a chance, and he, you know, spit it in my face, so I can't have any stray humans anymore in my house. I've been banned by Brian.
These things happen. I really do think if I was going to like sell body, like you should probably not do that out of the person who's hosting you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he didn't take his people to our place because we have two kids and a cat at the mm-hmm. time. So he just went out to them, but he used our computer. Like, I don't want to be tracked by the FBI for sex trafficking. No, that's not sex trafficking. For
prostitution. You
know, prostitution. That's what I meant. Sorry. I was just like, wait, no, he was over it. He was like 20 something. I wasn't taking in a young stray human. I don't definitely don't do that. This was years ago too. This was 10 years ago. We took him in, and actually I do have a hot minute of sex work, even though I am a massage therapist. It is not legal here. If it was legal, I might consider being a sex massage therapist as a career to make more money. I personally have no problem with that. I think sex work should be legal, but I keep my massage life completely professional, and only boyfriends get happy endings. However, maybe 15, almost 20 years ago, I don't know, I was friends with a wonderful dominatrix who a friend was dating. And one time she asked me, hey, I need some tall, overweight girls. I used to be large to assist me on jobs, and you can make a lot of money. And I said, hell yes, because I wanted to explore the world of dominatrixing and mm-hmm. what actually entailed. And I did like four different jobs with her over the course of a week. And not only was I so satisfied with the money, I was so satisfied with the experience. It was so fun. There was no sex, even though everything is in a sexual manner, but mm-hmm. like, it was like, you're in control. And I wonder that when you were a prostitute, did you always have that confident feeling of control or no? What got you into it?
All right. I think the thing that really got me into it was probably the environment that I was in. When I was young and queer, obviously, there was a lot of...
Well, you're anonymous. Nothing's obvious. We don't know what race you are, what sexuality you are. Oh. That's all for you to... If you offer that information, I'm going to use it.
So I happen to be transgender. I transitioned at this point in the game over 10 years ago. Essentially 10 years ago was when I started prostitution. So when I was maybe 18, I believe was the age I started. Yeah, 18. I was young, and there was money in effeminate prostitutes. Now, they didn't necessarily have to be female prostitutes, but a lot of men are interested in feminine presenting escorts and prostitutes, even if they're not necessarily 100% a trans woman. So I had a ton of friends at that time period who were interested in prostitution and making money. And I obviously wanted that, like wanted in on that kind of money to help me with my transition. I was in college at the moment, so there was always a need for more money. And so I took a chance with a friend who had been prostituting since she was 16. So she happened to know a lot about the scene and how to keep oneself safe. And so I threw my lot in with her. It was her that got me most of my jobs and her that kept me out of harm's way and who could verify like client for me. She was essentially my madam.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. It worked out really well.
Oh, I'm sure, because you had a guide. Any kind of profession or hobby or world you're going into, you need, if you're green, if you're super green, you need a mentor and someone to teach you the ropes. That's how you learn.
Definitely.
What kind of stuff did you learn? Would you mind sharing? I'd love to hear it.
Oh, perfect. One of the things that I was never quite the best at was probably banter. Majority of the time when you're escorting, you're not having sex.
Oh.
Actually, let me specify this. Okay. There's different kinds of prostitution. There's different kinds of sex work among prostitutes. Not to be derogatory, but there is your average...
crack whore.
I prefer to...
You didn't want to be derogatory, but I can't. They're under the L. Oh, I should have said under the L girls, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's girls that are just walking the streets, turning tricks by any passing car. That's a far more dangerous world and a far more dangerous situation than I found myself in personally. In those particular instances, the chances that you experience physical violence increases up to like 50%. Well, honestly, it's like that. You don't really separate prostitutes based on their income. But I would argue that those closer to the bottom of like income for prostitutes are far more likely to experience violence on the job. The number that I'm familiar with, the last one I checked is like 2014, 2015. And it stated that sex workers are 50% of them experienced some kind of violence on the job. And I honestly think that lower end prostitutes are far more likely to experience this kind of violence on the job because there's just so little protections for them.
Yeah. Any knowledge, I'm telling you now, any knowledge I have of this world is from watching SVU. I'm sorry to say it like that. However, it is filmed in New York. The writers, they all know how New York goes. So even though it is a fantasy show, there is a lot of things they draw from real life, especially in New York. So I do know that, you know, I would imagine that just hustling at cars where cops are kicking you out off the street must be extremely dangerous. When I see that like on an episode, I'm like that. I mean, especially with the transgendered prostitutes, they just had a transgendered prostitute episode before quarantine. And this girl got beat the shit out of, but then she went back to sex work. I'm like, what the fuck? And then she was in another episode and she stopped doing sex. I don't get it. But they were car hustlers, transgender car hustlers.
Yeah.
So what other worlds are there? Because there's escort and call girl. I mean, what was your domain?
My experience was a little higher end than that. You wouldn't be able to hail me in a car. Realistically, if you wanted to purchase my services, it would have been done online. My madam, I'm just going to refer to her as that so I don't state her name. She very specifically vetted clients. She had a client book, essentially, which is like an Excel document with some basic information on the folks that were hiring us. She had been doing that for years, and she started off on the street selling herself from car to car to purchase hormones. So there, she understood that experience, and she wanted to keep people who were working for her essentially out of that kind of life. So it was essentially her that made sure that anyone that I knew at that point in time worked a little bit higher end clientele, just for our safety. So for the most part, the way that I would meet clientele at first was usually over the phone. We'd have like maybe a 10, 15 minute long conversation. I'd learn stuff about whom I was meeting, just basic stuff, banter, smile, laugh, tell a joke or two, have a great time.
Yeah.
So after that initial like interview over the phone, there would be a meeting in a more neutral location. One of our friends worked at a hotel in Jersey City. And so when there were rooms that weren't filled,
tunnel parazzis.
Yeah, it really did save everyone a lot of money and stress that one of our friends happened to work in a hotel and could get us rooms for low or free. And so therefore, it was awesome. Upon first meeting, I would usually probably try to drag said John to the hotel to meet me, to, you know, engage with me. There was a bar downstairs. We could always talk in the bar. We could go up to a room if that was absolutely necessary. It was a good time, honestly.
Awesome. And no one ever got busted in your time or raids on the hotel?
No, not
That's awesome.
Not in my experience. But after a while, I stopped using the hotel because it wasn't really necessary. I didn't actually have a ton of new clients. The thing I really happened to eventually get good at was having repeat clients and repeat buyers. It was really better for me personally to do that than to try to meet new people every time, remember names, remember, you know, like interesting factoids about people.
That goes with any customer service, that goes with my profession. I used to work in a hotel. It's the same thing, you know, any kind of customer service profession, you want repeat clients rather than new constant clients. Mm-hmm. You know, hospitality is about remembering people and treating them like they're the only person in the world.
That is a lot. Yes, that's essentially what you're doing as a prostitute. You're when you're on this end of the spectrum, that's essentially what you're doing. If you want someone to come back to you, they have to feel special. They have to feel like that they're the only person that you care about at that moment. And so for the most part, most of my job really wasn't actually having sex. In fact, sex was usually the shortest time we spent doing anything was having sex.
Did your clients understand your situation that you were essentially doing this to get your hormones and get whatever you had to do for your transition?
No.
Oh, you don't discuss that? Because one time, one of my last jobs in that week of being a dominatrix's assistant, they call them mistresses. Oh, no, ladies. Mm-hmm. The dominatrix is the mistress, and I was the lady, and I had to make up my own name. I was Lady Ash because I was thinking of Army of Darkness. Because I love Ash. I'm like, I'm Lady Ash. So I remember we were at a hotel for one job where I sat on a guy's chest for a half hour. That was awesome money. If you get an offer to sit on a dude's chest, do it. Anyway, I shouldn't have said that, but whatever. So
no, that's awesome.
I made a lot of money just sitting on him for a half hour, just being a fat girl sitting on a dude. But he asked us questions about, now my mistress stayed with me. She didn't leave me alone in the hotel room. Mm-hmm. He was paying both of us to be there, which I'd also felt very safe for that 1 week. I mean, again, it was 1 week. Barely dipped a toe into the world. He asked us whatever he felt like asking us, like, do you girls have boyfriends and blah, blah, blah. And he was just asking us all these personal questions. And I was like, what about you? Do you have a girlfriend? And then my mistress was like, no, we don't ask them questions. Is that the same thing in your part of the profession?
I don't know about other escorts, but I found that people really, really wanted to talk, like a lot. And yeah. So most of my job was letting them talk. Some of my favorite clients were clients who would never shut up. I very rarely gave them a ton of information about me. A lot of them figured my name wasn't Jasmine, which was pretty obvious.
Wait, you look like a Jasmine, right? Do you? I bet you look like a Jasmine.
Right? Maybe.
I don't know. You're anonymous. I have no idea what you look like. I have no idea if I know you at all. Mm-hmm. I just have no idea who you are. I'm just so happy you're talking to me.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You're so welcome. Yay. So you had, on our pre-interview, you had told me a story of some of the clients being really like homophobic yet hiring a trans prosy.
Yes.
What is that about?
That's really interesting, honestly.
It is.
So it's really easy as a person to compartmentalize, a ton of different things. I had clients that were homophobic. I had clients that were racist. The thing about it was it didn't necessarily matter what their personal feelings are. What mattered is what they were attracted to. One of my longtime clients, and I would say also maybe even a personal friend of mine, had been a chef, and he was a 4- or 5-star chef, had his own restaurant. He was pretty decent in the business. He had his own restaurant it wasn't in Jersey City. It was one of those cities around Jersey City. But point is, he personally was very much not in favor of interracial dating.
But he hired you. And from what you told me, your skin is gorgeously dark as night, correct?
Yep. So he told me like multiple times that he had not been in favor of his son, who was actually older than I was.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. His son dating a black woman. He's like, I wouldn't have it. He couldn't marry her. I couldn't, like, my grandkids can't be black. I couldn't handle that.
Doesn't that make you feel weird, though, being hired by him? Like, is it? I know it's your choice to be in sex work, but given the dynamic of how well America has treated its citizens, especially, you know, the past 400 years, mm-hmm. you know, isn't that a weird position to be in as a black, trans, proud woman? Getting bought by this dude and him telling you about how he doesn't want interracial grandchildren.
It's a really weird position to be in, but I will say from my personal experience and even in my personal dating life, you see that amongst a lot of older Americans, that they're stating that they just wouldn't be in favor of having that in their family. And obviously I was laughing about it when he said it, because I mean, if we're going to be 100% honest, he was homophobic. He did use like the word faggot often, but if we're going to be honest, like it's super hard.
Did he?
Never to me.
Good. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted
No, it's absolutely fine. He had never said it when in my presence, but do I think that he's ever said it in his life? Most likely.
Yeah.
But like all of that being said, like he can be as homophobic and as racist as he wants. He's got a black trans like cock in his ass. So that's all.
Black trans cock in his ass. I love that. Oh my God. I'm just all week. I'm going to hashtag black trans cock, black trans cock. I love black trans cock. Do you love black trans cock? Oh, it's going to be the best episode ever.
Yeah. So that was my point. Like, even if he was like not in favor of that in his personal life, he was obviously attracted to this in his own life. It was a bit of a cognitive dissonance thing. But despite all of that, jobs with him were some of my favorites. Once I had stopped seeing him at like the hotel, I eventually started seeing him in his personal home. And
oh, wow.
Yes. And in his home, we would cook together. And those are still to this day, some of my favorite memories.
Wow.
I cook now more having met this man than I probably would have if I hadn't worked with him.
Isn't it complicated when you know someone that may be just hateful with their ignorance and bigotry, but they're nice people, but still you got to draw that line. But you know, obviously you're sympathetic like I am. Like I was on a jury once with a guy who was like, he's like, I kind of am a white sympathizer. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Kind of.
He's like, my mom's just had problems with black people. I'm like, are you fucking dumb? Meanwhile, he's on a jury with like me, a flamboyantly bisexual man with a tattoo of Divine from Pink Flamingos.
Yes.
And this guy was awesome. But like, and a bunch of black people. And it was me, him, the gay guy, and one of these black women. It was just always the four of us for 2 months during jury duty. We'd have lunch together all the time. And I'm like, this is the weirdest group ever. Like, I could see me, the bisexual, and the black woman, but the white sympathizer, quote unquote, it's just weird.
It is weird. Like, yeah. The situations we find ourselves in.
Yeah, I'm not trying to turn this into racism, but I definitely have to have episodes about racism because, yeah. But,
definitely. Racism is a huge problem in the United States. Racism is a huge problem in
everywhere.
Tons of countries, yes.
Yeah, and it definitely comes up in sex work. It just comes up in everything. And it
definitely.
It's a different beast when you're getting paid, you know? I mean, does that seem like an accurate statement? I would think if you're getting paid, you're kind of, you know what I mean? Like, he's treating you like property. And he doesn't like it. You never felt like that, though.
I would suppose that if you're going to sell some ass, realistically, people are buying you. You are a commodity.
Yeah.
But I would argue
renting it, I guess, right?
For yes. Time.
Yeah.
I would argue that if you're purchasing a commodity and that commodity is cheeks, then yes, at some point it is kind of like a property thing. But I mean, hey. At the end of the night, we're all selling our labor. We're all selling ourselves to some degree to someone else.
I sell my skill. I'm a dope-ass massage therapist. And like, you know, I get clients because of that, because I know what I'm doing and I make people feel like they are the only person in the world and they don't have to think about their outside shit. They just have to relax. So, you know, I'm sure some of the things I say to my clients are similar to that of sex workers. Mostly. Or any customer service, really.
Yes. Seeing as customer service is all about friendliness and, like, attentiveness.
Yeah, especially when selling physical properties.
Yes. But seeing as that most of my job wasn't sex, a lot of it was just talking. A lot of people have a lot that they want to tell someone. So in some instances, being a sex worker is also kind of like being a therapist.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because the mistress I worked for, she was being a dominatrix to make money to go into school to become a sexual psychologist. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And just like your madam, who I think is awesome, by the way, taking girls in so they don't get, I mean, she should get paid to have like a place just for that, you know? This is why I think sex work should be legal, because women like your madam can take in trans youth and give them proper, you know, there's nothing wrong with selling your fucking body. You know what I mean? And America just hates it. What do you think about it, and why should sex work be legal?
Sex work should probably be legal, primarily because it being illegal makes it a lot harder for escorts. It makes it a lot more dangerous, like likeliness to be murdered on the job. Sex workers are 400 times more likely than your average job to be murdered on the job. Sex workers, like one third of sex workers are involved in cases where they are or are about to be raped. That's just how that works. 30%, like 30 to 40% of sex workers are robbed or are physically assaulted because they can't go to the police with their problem. The problem here is that sex workers being criminalized and like basically makes it so that they are more likely to not seek out assistance from a police officer or from the criminal justice system if something does occur. Because sex workers are super likely to be raped, they tend to not report these kinds of cases. I knew a ton of girls who had been sexually assaulted on the job. I had been sexually assaulted on the job. No one reported it. It's just not what you did. Because who's going to believe some black tranny? Like, let's just be honest.
You know what? It's so funny you said tranny because in my day, because I'm old, remember, in the 90s, tranny just meant transvestite. It didn't mean transgendered at that point. And then it evolved into transgendered, at least from my perspective growing up. Like, when anyone I knew said tranny, they meant transvestite. I've actually known a lot of cross-dressers because the hotel I worked at was a gay hotel, and a lot of cis-hetero men hid their double lives at this bar, you know, hotel bar, and they came in their comfortable clothing and where they could be free and accepted.
But that is definitely awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that feeling. I love promoting that feeling of safety, which is why I love that your madam did that for you. I mean, yes, you were sexually molested a lot of times or in really bad ways. How did you cope with it?
Close to the very beginning of my career, I was raped once.
Oh, gosh.
That only ever happened once.
Good. Well, but not good. It would be better if it never happened.
It would be better, but as with most things, if you're trans and you're a sex worker, the chances that it's going to happen aren't genuinely higher. That's kind of the problem. If you lie down with dogs, you're going to get fleas. I'm not saying that sex work is bad. I'm just saying that if you are a sex worker in the current climate, you're very likely to experience these kinds of things. And then a big problem with sex work as well is that it's not, unless you're a maniac, you're not reporting your income to the IRS.
Yeah, exactly.
And I do that. Technically, you can. You can technically
like as an independent contractor.
There's a section in your tax forms where it states like illegal income, like income that's not from like a normal job. Like you can report illegal income. It's just, you'd have to be really stupid.
Illegal
income. I'm at this point in the game, I'm a grandmother from
you're a granny tranny.
Essentially, yes. From the terms of transitions, I'm really old into the game at this point. Now, I would never go into a group of younger trans women and use the term tranny, because at this point, 20-year-olds younger than that, they don't use that term anymore. It's offensive now. So I would never use it amongst them, but amongst my older girls, we use it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like using the F word if you're gay. And, you know, my GBF calls me, he used to call me the mother of all fag hags. But I am. That was always my thing. In the 90s, I just wanted to be a fag hag. I wanted to have a gay son and be the ultimate mama hag. But now I just call myself a mama ally. I feel like in the wake of, you know, the new youth and the new gay youth, like, I'm not going to call myself a fag hag. It's derogatory.
Unfortunately, yes, it is. And so, therefore, in order to keep a finger on the pulse of this, we have to change the terms we're willing to say. And so, unfortunately, I don't use tranny anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe not unfortunately, but I don't use it anymore as much because it's just not what people are, it's not acceptable anymore in most circles.
Well, my boyfriend, you don't know him. He's also anonymous. when we started dating, I'm a huge Anglophile. I've been obsessed with anything British since I was a kid. I've been calling cigarettes fags since I've been smoking them. And, you know, my millennial boyfriend is like, you can't say fag anymore for a cigarette. I'm like, but a faggot was a bundle of sticks. That's all it was. And then my best friend, who is 55, he said, you know what they did, though? Back in the day, they used to wrap gay people in a bundle of sticks and burn them. And I'm like, all right, I'm never saying fag for a cigarette again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, nope. And he's caught me slipping up once or twice, but not for a long time now. I did it. I got the F word out of my vernacular, you know, like vocabulary. Mm-hmm. And I, you know,
it takes time.
It does. It's like when I remember having a conversation once with a former friend who went FTM, and we were talking about when he had first come out to me, and I got used to calling him he or them and they. Sometimes I'd slip, and he'd be like, "It's all right. It takes time to get used to the new pronouns." Like, he was very understanding with me, and then after a month or a whatever, I never had a problem with calling him a he or they, them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important to be, you know, very aware of the terminology that LGBTQIA want to use. You know, I think we should respect all that.
Definitely. I will say, from when I originally started my transition a long time ago, like, gender non-binary people or NB people really didn't exist. And so not a lot of people were requesting to be called they, them. And so I will admit that even though I'm trans, I did have I had a hard time switching pronouns for one of my best friends who decided, yes, that they were non-binary. It took some time. It always takes time. But as allies, we have to be willing to take the time to change our language
exactly.
to make people most comfortable.
Exactly. I have another trans friend who, when she was first coming out to me, she's like, "You know, I'm a T girl, right?" I'm like, "I do, but that's not my business. You come out and tell me." But she said T girl, and I always thought T girl was cute, or T boy, or, but you know, you never know what's going to offend someone. What do you call yourself, Jazz?
Well, in the current climate, I refer to my
Jasmine.
In the current climate, I usually just refer to myself as trans or transgendered. It's just usually it's the go-to and most appropriate thing to use.
Yeah.
T-girl was,
this is like
2000s, 90s. That was something that people used a lot more.
Yeah. I met her in like 2014 and she was saying T-girl.
Uh-huh.
She was one of my managers once. So, but yeah, I remember watching documentaries about, there was this huge documentary on the Logo Channel, like probably in the early aughts, where they were focusing on a few trans people. One girl in California desperately like doing bad things to get illegal hormones and shit. There was uh-huh. another, man who was transitioning, just starting T, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it was very in depth.
I will say documentaries like that were instrumental in helping people to take the first steps in understanding what life was like for your average trans person. Like,
trying to get hormones back in the day, I can't imagine. And all right, so you were working for yours. Was it easy for you to get your hormones? And now obviously you're in a comfortable place. Are you, like you said, you're grandma of transition, like you're a woman. Like, I mean, I know you could call yourself trans, but like you're a woman. Like, you ever, I know it's important to stand up for trans rights and to identify, but do trans people, do you think, at least maybe in your experience or some people, you know, you never know. Do you just want to be called women or men or whatever you are? Or do you want to stand for trans, you know?
I will say, in my personal life, me being trans doesn't generally come up super often now.
Okay.
Maybe when I'm meeting a new person and telling them about my experience, me being trans may come up in that instance. But in my normal everyday life, I'm just your average woman walking about, buying groceries, eating a sandwich in the park.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. People won't look at you and say trans. And, you know, I think that's a little important too. But when you worked as a prosy, did you market yourself as trans?
Well, yep. That's how we got
the glamour of it. Like, hey, you can have a trans prostitute. Right?
Yes.
That's the selling point. Okay.
I see. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of money in being something that was exotic. And
oh boy,
so
sure. Wait, how much did you make? Can I ask you that?
It depends on the job. With new clientele, I would only stay with them for maybe 2 hours at maximum. Mm-hmm. Just because you don't want to wear, like, you don't want to wear on them, and you don't want to make it an all night kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So on any individual job, especially on shorter jobs, I was making like $500, $600 maybe.
That's awesome.
But with repeat clientele, I could make a G in a night.
Oh shit. How fast did you get all the tea you needed? Like, was there a point where when did you realize you didn't have to be a sex worker anymore? Or did you just like the money at that point?
I really quickly realized, like at 19, 20, I realized I didn't need to be an escort. But I mean, as a 19 or 20 year old, if you're making like,
I can't imagine.
Yeah. If you're pulling in like $2,000, $3,000 in a weekend, you're probably gonna keep doing it so that you can afford to do dumb stuff.
Hide that mad cash, you know?
Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of that money on stupid stuff.
Like what? Tell me the stupid stuff. I want to hear all the binging.
Well, let's see.
Do you still have anything that you bought back then?
Oh, no. Oh. I usually bought the dumbest of things, honestly. I couldn't drive then. I didn't have a license. Okay. So I didn't spend it on a car. I really, honest to God, should have spent it on cars or things that I would keep long term. But I ended up spending it mostly on clothes, alcohol, drugs.
Drugs. You did lots of drugs? You don't do drugs anymore, do you?
No, not really. Just every once in a while, I'll have a drink.
Yeah, yeah. Were drugs a detriment when you were working?
Well, if I was working, like working, I didn't do anything. I couldn't get more than tipsy with a client just because I needed to remain professional.
Yeah.
If I'm like blasted with a client, what does that look like? Why are you going to hire some drunk?
That's true. You don't want to be some dumb drunk chick.
Yes. So
professional thingy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the most I'd have was like a glass or two of wine if I were working. But if I'm partying and just spending time amongst like the girls, we spent a lot of money in Atlantic City. We gambled. We did a ton of stupid stuff.
That's awesome. Well, when you're 20, why the fuck not?
You know? Like the world's going to end. You can't die. The world's going to end in like 2012. So everyone was doing dumb stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that one Dom week, I worked four jobs and made like, I don't know, $500-$600 in a week. It wasn't a lot because I was just an assistant, you know, but
that's still a lot of money. Like,
yeah, in the 90s. Awesome. Like I would, if sex work were illegal, I would be a dominatrix or some kind of emotional sexual support human, you know. So like I like to be in I always thought of myself when I used to read like fantasy novels, I used to be in love with courtesans. I want to be a courtesan. They're like exactly what you talk about. They are not, their number one selling point is not sex, it's comfort and talking, and because people are lonely essentially, which you you know, and that's why they want any kind of companionship they can.
Yes, companionship is definitely important, like with like escorts. You generally spend a lot of your time being somebody's companion, and in some instances it, like for some of my clients, it was almost like a dating experience. Like I would be there for a day or two if they had the cash for it. And in that day or two, they'd have a live-in girlfriend essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So now what kind of advice would you give to women let's start with women in general.
Mm-hmm.
Women in general who are going into sex work most likely will be under 20.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of advice would you tell them if they're thinking of getting into it? Or, and I don't mean people who, I mean, people who don't have a choice, like, or that are stolen into sex trafficking, obviously. I mean, if mm-hmm. people feel they don't have a choice because they're at the end of the rope, they're like, I might as well be a prosy. What kind of advice and caution would you give to those women?
I would probably, the best advice I could give is stay away from pimps. You never want a pimp. They're the worst thing for you. Pimps are abusive in a lot of instances. Pimps will get, in some instances, pimps will get their girls addicted to drugs to ruin them, to make them like more prone to making terrible choices for themselves. There's really no reason for a pimp to exist. Like, I get the fact that they can offer violence in the sense that if their girls are hurt in some way, they will retaliate with violence. But that's one of the reasons why we should make sex work legal, because if it were legal, you could criminalize the people who hurt prostitutes. You can set up the means for prostitutes to be tested, like for STDs. You can tax the money that they make. There's just so many various things that would be very helpful.
It would boom the economy, I'll tell you that.
Sex work is a multi-billion dollar. So yeah, that would be a massive boon on the economy. That's why you should also legalize marijuana and
exactly. It's legal here now. Well, there's dispensaries and it's my anxiety medication now, not marijuana. I'm not smoking pot anymore. I'm vaping anxiety meds.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, marijuana has been shown to be proven, effective for multiple things, for binge eating, for anorexia, for anxiety. It's just super helpful for a lot of different reasons. People should have access to it for medicinal purposes and recreational purposes.
Oh, definitely. And that maybe we can make that another episode if you ever feel like coming back. But about sex work.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I didn't answer the question.
Oh, no. I was just going to add, I agree with you. I think we need to get rid of the pimps and the real criminals and let people. It needs to stop being fucking taboo here. I think people need to start talking about sex more and be open about it. Because also, if people were just open and honest with each other, maybe your spouse or partner or whatever wouldn't go behind your back and get a prostitute. But some people, you make your own relationship. Maybe going to prostitutes is your thing and your spouse understands that. We won't know if you're never going to be open with your partner,
Mm-hmm.
We need to be open and talking about sex more and more and more.
Definitely.
That's my sense. I'm sorry. I don't know.
No, you're not wrong. That's fine. Sexual education is incredibly important. Without appropriate sexual education, we have more underage pregnancies and teen pregnancies. It really is a detriment to our society that we're not better educated on sex and that contraception is sometimes for women, especially, more difficult to get your hands on.
Oh, yeah, of course. Now, is there any organizations that you know, or if you know anyone still in the life that have places to be safe if you're starting out in this, especially if you're trans? Or are there organizations trying to work for the sex workers and keep them safe? If not, I'll do research on it because I do want to donate to someone in your honor. I do that with every guest.
Mm-hmm.
So... unless there you have something in mind. I should have just asked you that on the side. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I actually don't. I've been out of this for so long that I very rarely talk to anyone who still is a prostitute. So I'm just super out of the loop at this point.
Yeah. But you're right. Planned Parenthood is a help. Planned Parenthood is a big help, right?
It's essential. Planned Parenthood is one of the very few things that make it so that young women can get various kinds of testing so they can get mammograms so that they can be assisted for testing for STDs. Planned Parenthood is one of the most important organizations we have. And the fact that they give out contraception or make it easy for women to get access to contraception is invaluable.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And so with your episode, Jasmine, I will be donating to Planned Parenthood in your honor.
Oh, thank you. I actually donate to Planned Parenthood every month. So it's definitely...
Do you really?
That's yes.
Awesome.
I want to make sure that that organization stays open because young people make bad choices, but Planned Parenthood is there to help them to make better choices, to inform them and offer them resources. So it's just, it's, they're invaluable.
Yeah. I have another episode where the, my guest asked me to donate to Planned Parenthood in her honor as well. So I might just have to set up a monthly Planned Parenthood because I got, you know, I got my abortion at Planned Parenthood when I was living in Philly. I got all of my contraception and OB/GYN Kenobi stuff at Planned Parenthood, you know? Oh, sorry. I've been calling that so long. I forgot.
I'm sorry. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I've just never heard that before.
Oh, yeah, I haven't said that to you.
No, that's amazing.
Oh, thank you. It's in my phone, OB/GYN Kenobi, for my gynecologist. It's just, where would we be without Planned Parenthood? Any woman, no matter, or man, you know?
Yes.
Where do you think your girlfriends get their abortions, fellas?
Yes, Planned Parenthood is essential for everyone, honestly. For men, they can also offer some sexual education as well as contraception as well if they're unable to get their hands on it in other ways. Planned Parenthood is important. Everyone should be donating to Planned Parenthood to keep them open.
Exactly. And now I guess the second part of that question is, what would you say to transgendered people who are getting into sex work, whether it be any age, you know, or how would you keep them safe?
The best way to keep them safe, I would say, is in the advent of the technological revolution, you can sell sex online. And I would say selling sex online through things like OnlyFans or Patreons or things like that is probably the easiest and safest way to do this. If you're going to be an escort that meets people in person, you have to meet people in neutral places. You have to make sure people know where you are. Honestly, for my first like 5 or 6 jobs, my madam was there with me, helping me, talking
That's
to
lovely.
Me.
That's
yeah,
lovely.
she basically took me to her jobs and scheduled jobs that were mine, but she was with me, so I felt safer.
It's like training.
It was like training, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why sex is such a bad topic in this country. It would just help so many things to make it more a legal industry, you know?
Definitely.
Sorry, I don't mean to keep bringing that up. But
No, it's perfectly fine. And like in Nevada, it's a booming industry that brings in tons of money for their
exactly.
state.
Exactly. Like, is that, I don't know. I don't think you have any Nevada experience, but do you think that would be a safe option for people to go to Nevada and do it legally?
That would probably be your safest option. But the thing about those brothels,
like the ranches,
they can be creepy too.
Like that guy who's dead now at the Moonlight Bunny Ranch in Reno or whatever. Isn't he dead? I don't know.
He is dead. I met him once. He's a dick.
Really? You met him? Oh my God. He seemed like such a dick. What did he say to you?
Not much.
How'd you meet him?
I met him at a convention,
expo.
It was like a sex expo.
A sexpo. No, come on. Come on, Jazz. You need sex expo. Sexpo. Come on.
Sexpo.
We have to be obvious with the a sexpo. What is a sexpo? Tell me about sexpos.
Oh, they're places where you can actually meet porn stars and purchase like various porn items, memorabilia. Purchase toys from like that resemble body parts from different actors or actresses, but they're really, really like not bad places. And you can meet a lot of people in the industry. You can meet dicks like Dennis.
Oh yeah. That guy, I forgot his name. Dennis. Yeah. Why did you just go up to him or did he go up to you? I need the deets.
He was talking to like a bunch of girls, and honestly the point is that the best way to say it is just he wasn't the nicest person, and he was a bit of a creep. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
I don't wanna speak ill of the dead.
It's okay. We all speak ill of Hitler.
That is very true.
I'm just teasing you, of course. That is your choice, and that is very sweet.
You can work at like these brothels, and honestly, that's probably the safest place where you can sell skin, and probably it's your best option, honestly. The only problem is these are very competitive places. It's not like something where, like, if you're not doing well, you can do this for a while. They're very competitive. The girls there are
lots of surgery and perfection, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, it would be something where you're essentially competing, and I don't know how well everyone will thrive in that kind of environment.
No, I don't think, especially in the sex industry, that women should be fighting with each other. I don't think women should be fighting with each other over anything. We should be bonding. So unless they could think of a way to make a sex work community, like a rant, like a brothel, like more of a supportive thing, then why pit women against other women? You know, that's a little weird.
I agree.
That might be the ego of the owners of the brothels too. And they're just pimps, they call themselves, you know, they're just high class pimps, right?
In the case of the Bunny Ranch, yeah, honestly, I think he was just a high class pimp grabbing chicks' asses like a monster.
Ugh, yuck. Yeah. Well, Jasmine, let's end on a more positive note than that dude. Is there anything I missed that you would like to bring up on our topic today? I want to make sure I get everything you want to roar about out there.
Oh no, I think I've talked about most of what I could for like sex work.
Awesome. I'm glad. Now, Jasmine, my last question. It is the hardest one.
Ooh.
You ready? You ready? Mm-hmm. You ready? Can you roar for me?
Probably not. I'm terrible.
That's okay. You can make it any kind of roar you want. Just make it a Jasmine roar.
Let's do this.
Awesome. Woohoo. Roar more, everybody. Let us thank Jasmine here for her wonderful episode that I thought of. We both agreed on the title, A Whore New World, because I asked her hooker name, I don't know if that offends you. Her
prosy
name. Okay. Prosy name. And when she told me it was Jasmine, I'm like, oh my God, can we name it A Whore New World? So I got permission. I'm sorry I like puns, inappropriate or not.
Well, realistically, it doesn't matter what you call, like what you call a prostitute, a whore, an escort. You're all doing the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Only thing that matters is you get paid at the end of the day.
Exactly. Exactly. You should get what you put out. Ha, that was funny. Oh, in the 80s, put out was a term, like put out or get out, you know.
I have heard that before, but I haven't heard that recently.
Yeah, I think the last time I heard it was on an episode of Married with Children. Anyway, so Jasmine, from all of my heart, thank you so much for talking today. Your advice is invaluable, and your heart is warm and awesome, and you rock.
Well, thank you so much. I loved being here. This was absolutely lovely. Thank you for having me, honestly.
Oh, thank you for sharing. I didn't care how long I had to wait to talk to you. I would have waited forever to hear your story.
Well, thank you. This has been a beautiful experience, and I'll be looking forward to hearing some of your other episodes.
Oh, cool. Yay. Well, let me just, well, thank you. And I'm definitely tell you, you'll get to hear your own episode first. Let me just say goodbye, everybody. Bye. Bye.
The world is a mess. War, famine, politics.
Why can't everyone just get along? Yeah, like in musicals. Musicals fix everything.
If people listened and learned from musicals, everything would be better.
Music, lights, and spontaneous choreography. What isn't there to love?
If you want to learn all of life's important lessons,
or just listen to some musical theatre nerds wax lyrical,
subscribe to Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, wherever you find fun and funny podcasts.
Or at our website at thatsnotcanonproductions.com.
A That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
He can be as homophobic and as racist as he wants. He's got a black trans, like, cock in his ass. So that's all.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.